Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And we're going to go ahead and continue with our class, The Great Mercy of God. And with this class today, we're still in Genesis 16. We're going to be continuing in Genesis 16. Still looking at Sarai, Hagar, and Egypt. More specifically, a little bit, I think, more towards Egypt, excuse me, than anything else. And just going over like our previous class, and looking at, you know, something to look at for this class. As I was just, you know, reading the scriptures and searching out some things, I had actually started looking at Egypt itself, where it says Egyptian, then Egypt, and then just continued just, you know, reading dictionaries, I'm not even sure if I got even to commentaries. I was just reading dictionaries concerning Egyptian and Egypt. I'm not sure if we'll be able to get to read the Strong's. I did copy some Strong's dictionary definitions for the term Egyptian and Egypt. I'm not sure if we'll get to read them today or not, but as I was reading it and just, you know, going over the passage and then just kind of reading and studying a little bit, well, we'll look at some of the things in just a second. Just some of the things that just kind of hit me. And, you know, I've always looked at Egypt as basically the arm of the flesh, the strength of the arm of the flesh, the strength of man, what man can do, man's ability. And there's several portions of the scripture where the Lord says, do not trust in Egypt. Don't put your trust in Egypt, where either the Israelite kings or the kings of Judah or just Israel as a whole, they were, you know, they were facing different armies and they wanted allies, and they were at times would look towards Egypt as an ally. And one of the things, I think one of the reasons why they did that was because when they were in bondage to Egypt, they knew just how powerful a military force they were. Of course, they must have forgotten that the Lord broke the strength of that military force, broke the back of that military force. So the Lord is stronger than our might. The wisdom of the Lord the foolishness of the Lord is wiser than our wisdom. And I know I misquoted that verse, but it's always like that. The Lord is greater. Man is not great. Man has no ability. Man has no strength, though in his own mind, in his own ability, he does have strength to do things. The thing is that he cannot do what only God can do. Man cannot make another man to be born again. Man cannot make himself to be born again. It requires a miracle of God. Nor can man cause another man to know the life he has been birthed of, Christ himself. That requires a miracle of God. So, though man is strong in man's strength and in man's wisdom, he knew not God. And actually, I think the verse is, we covered it probably like last class or the class before. Man in his wisdom knew not God. So in man's ability, we are completely impotent in regards to the Lord in every shape, fashion, form, in everything. So I was just looking at these passages, and what I want to do is just kind of read Genesis chapter 16, verse 1. I want to read verse 1, and then I'll read a couple of portions of a different passage that we've already covered, actually, and then go back to Genesis 16 again. Then I'll be making some comments also. This is Genesis chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Now, once again, I think I covered it in about two classes ago. There's something of the Lord governing the heart of Sarai. And that something of the Lord that's governing her heart has to do with seed and inheritance. Seed, heir, inheritance. An inheritance, an heir, the seed. So, now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, no seed, no heir. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. All right? Now, the one thing that's different in Genesis chapter 16, right here, verse 1, versus the previous chapter, chapter 15, is that though the purpose of the Lord is governing the heart, well, I can't say governing the heart, and I'll tell you why in just a second. Well, not governing the heart, because the purpose of the Lord governs the heart of one who sees the purpose of the Lord. And the purpose of the Lord is Christ Himself. The purpose of God is Christ Himself. So she knows something. Let's put it this way. She knows something about a message that Abram speaks of. She knows of what Abram, her husband, speaks of. To her, it is a message. To Abram, it is more than a message. It is a person. All right? The difference right here between Sarai and Abram is that Abram has seen the true seed, the true heir. Sarai has not. So Sarai, and like in, well, Sarai, this is going to lead straight into the next passage of scriptures. Sarai has heard a message, a true message. It is a true message. A true testimony. She's heard the testimony of Abram, her husband, and it is a true testimony she has heard, having not yet seen. And so she looks around with her natural eyes, and she sees no seed, no heir. And so she reasons according to what she sees. The judgment that she makes, she reasons according to what judgment she has made by what she has seen. It's all about a seed. It is all about an heir. I see no seed. I see no heir. Genesis chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. And this is, well, I'll just go ahead and read it. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Verse 9. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Verse 10. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Okay. Just a couple of things to take note of in the scriptures, just from doing a real quick study, well, actually a real quick search. I didn't cover the entirety of the scriptures, but just in all the passages that I saw. Look at what it says here, verse 10. And there was a famine in the land. Now, once again, as my understanding is concerning Egypt, the arm of the flesh, the strength of man, the strength of the flesh, the strength of the arm of the flesh. The arm usually represents the strength. In this case, Egypt, it's the strength of man, the strength of the flesh of man. To rely upon one's own ability, to rely upon one's own strength, to rely upon one's own faculties in what one can do. There's a famine in the land right here in Genesis chapter 12. So Abram, once again, and I know we covered this in previous classes, Genesis chapter 12, Abram takes a look around, sees the situation, and he is, at that moment, trying to, listen, reason and figure out a solution to the situation. See, Abram is not the only one under his own care. He's not traveling alone. He has his wife, he has Lot, and he has all those with him. A great burden to bear, I guess you could say. He has the care of all those who are with him. So he's considering not only his own self, but this, but others as well, the well-being of others. The only difference is that what happens, and you just see it gradually and just naturally go this direction, he's reasoning and trying to provide what is best for those with him. What is best for those whom he is considering is their life. Now, forgive me if I didn't say that correctly. What is best for what he is considering to be the life of those who are with him? Okay? He's looking at them with a natural eye, and he's seeing what he believes to be their life. And he's trying to provide what is best for them, the need they have. And then it says, and Abram went down into Egypt. And in the passages where I was looking at the term Egypt, and Canaan, you always have to go down to Egypt. And you always have to go up to Zion, to Canaan. Now, that's in relationship Canaan to Egypt. Canaan to Egypt. You always have to go down to Egypt. And you always have to go up to Zion in the context of both Canaan and Egypt. And so that's what it says. And Abram went down into Egypt. But I love the way the scripture says it, to sojourn there. It does not say to live there, because that is not where his life is found. We who are born again, cannot live where our life is not found. Our life is not found in the world. Our life is not found in the religious world. Our life is not found in a message. Our life is not found in a teaching. Our life is not found in a doctrine. Our life is not found in our studies. Our life is not found in our education, in our academia, in all in regard to the scripture, our education concerning the scripture, our academia concerning the scriptures, our studies concerning the scriptures. That is not where our life is found. Our life is found in Christ. So, though in ignorance we can abide where our life is not found, our life is forever present. Our soul is forever present in Christ. And Christ, who is our life, is forever present in our soul. So in ignorance, we try to provide, we try to maintain, we try to take care of, here we go, the dashed square, that which we believe to be is our life, that which we believe to be the life of the others, of others. All the while, because we are not beholding Him who is our life. All right. Continuing on. Verse 10 again from Genesis chapter 12. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Skipping down to verse 17. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Now here's the situation. In the scriptures, it does not say that the Lord told Abram to go to Egypt. Nope. But he did. We do know that the Lord told Jacob to go to Egypt. But it does not say anything about the Lord speaking to Abram to go to Egypt. Another thing is that in the scriptures, we find no mention of the Lord speaking to Abram in Egypt, nor appearing unto Abram in Egypt. Egypt, the abode of the dead, the strength of the flesh, the strength of the arm of man, the arm of the flesh. And then you have, was it one or two witnesses? I think it was two witnesses. I think it was two angels. When they come to the tomb looking for Jesus. Who do you seek? Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. We cannot find our life where our life is not found. Our life is not found below. Our life is not found as being this natural body. What we can see with our natural eyes, this is not our life. This is, shall we say, the way Peter put it, this is our tabernacle. Our life is Christ. Christ Himself. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. The Lord, by divine providence, brings Abram back unto purpose. Okay, going on. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister, so I might have taken her to be my wife, taken her to me to wife? Now therefore behold thy wife. And I love this. Now, therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. Basically, take her and go away. Take her and leave. That's the divine providence of God. God doing what Abram cannot do in his now situation. Now, see, the thing that I'd like to just mention right now is that it's kind of like a downward spiral. Or a spiral downward, or the colloquialism, I guess you could say, a snowball effect, or maybe it's just a phraseology of saying things, a snowball effect. It's, or another way of saying things, out of the frying pan into the fire. When we consider and reason according to what we see. And we begin to reason and try to bring about a solution. And that solution, part of that solution, or the entirety of that solution, involves our own strength, our own ability. Then we're just kind of like on a downward spiral, like, you know. Because we always, remember, have to go down to Egypt. Down. And it just kind of gets worse and worse and worse. And so Abram in Egypt, now it's, you thought it was bad before with a famine? Now you're about to lose your wife. Now it's worse. It's always worse when we rely upon our own strength and not the Lord. Okay, going on. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. Get out. Genesis chapter 13, verse 1, the very next verse, verse 1 through 2. And Abram went, I love this, up out of Egypt. And Abram went up out of Egypt. And you see the order, coming up out of Egypt. The Lord drew him back through divine providence. He and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver and in gold. Okay. It doesn't, and I kind of read a little bit, it no longer makes mention of the famine in the land. So, I don't know how long Abram was down in Egypt. The scriptures don't say. I don't know how long he sojourned in Egypt. Maybe long enough for the famine to go away. I don't know. But the whole thing is that once the Lord brings him back, there is no more mention of that famine anymore. I'll just leave that there. I thought it was very interesting. Now, Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, here we go again, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing no children, had no children, bear him no children. The Lord hath restrained me from bearing. So it kind of trickles downward. Are scary enough, are relying upon our own strength and our own abilities does indeed affect others. We always want to impact the world. You know, Christians unite, let's go have a big old outreach and an evangelistic camp meeting or whatever, you know, rally. Because we want to impact the world. We want to have an impact on the world for Christ. Well, we do actually have an impact upon the world, and especially those immediately around us. And the impact is either unto life, or the impact is unto that which is not life. In Genesis chapter 12, remember, Abram wanted to provide the best he could for those around him, for those he loved. The best he considered according to the natural mind, according to the natural abilities. And the best we can do is something of our own ability, our own strength. And we all know what the result is of us, of our own ability. We can call the name of the result Ishmael. That is what we do in our ability. We do Ishmael. That which does not please God, that which does not serve the purpose of God, that which is not in covenant with God, that which is rejected of God. And yet here in chapter 16, Sarai is doing just the same. Sadly. So here we go. Behold, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. We can have seed. We can have an heir. through the arm of the flesh, through our ability. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai, and Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian. It's basically like Sarai now saying, okay, this is what we can do. Let's do it. We can do this. We can do this. Completely missing it. Completely missing what it is all about. God makes known to Abram that which he desires. And what God desires, God only can perform. Sarai, all she does is hear. So, that sounds good. We can do this. Let's see. This. Let's do this here. Move this here. Let's bring this in over here. And we can accomplish this. Because remember, it's the Lord who brought to the forefront the whole thought of an heir, a seed. We don't hear Sarai bringing this before Abram any time before. No, we don't hear of any of this going on in Ur. We don't hear of any of this conversation going on in Haran. It's only right here in Genesis chapter 16. Because Abram is declaring what he has seen. Abram is declaring his testimony. He is testifying of what he has witnessed. I don't know if I have it on this tablet here, but let me see if I do. Nope, I don't. A true witness is one who must witness the Lord. I jotted something down like that. I know I'm not saying it exactly the way I jotted it down, but that's all right. So Sarai is declaring that which he has witnessed. Abram is declaring. Sarai is hearing. Abram is declaring what he has witnessed. Abram is declaring what he has seen. And so, to whatever degree, in Abram's heart, yes, it's all about an heir. It is all about a seed. But I have seen that heir. I have seen that seed. And Sarai has not. So Sarai, knowing to whatever degree, because she's the one who's speaking right here, she is the one who's saying that there must be an heir, there must be a seed. The heir must appear, and the seed must appear. She is hearing the testimony, a true testimony. She has believed that true testimony, but she has not yet seen. So now she is reasoning by the natural mind, the carnal mind, how to bring this about, to bring this to fruition. And it is through the strength, the ability, the arm of the flesh, the arm of man. I mean, she literally gets, here, let's use the arm of the flesh to do this. Let's use the strength of the arm of man. Listen, verse 3, Genesis chapter 16, and Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian. Let's use our strength, let's use our ability. We can do this. And gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And see, here's the thing. Once again, when God presents something, he doesn't present something so it can be our goal to achieve. He presents it so we can discover it in the person of his Son. God speaks to Abram, heir, seed. And then, let me show you the true heir. Let me show you the true seed. Yes, it is all about an heir. It is all about a seed. Now, let me show you the one whom it is all about. We all know that ultimately it was not about Ishmael. And it was literally all not about Isaac either. Though Isaac is a testimony of Christ, it is not all about Isaac. It is about Christ himself. I had a diagram once in a class that I did. Forgive me, I can't remember the name of the class. And basically, it was like this. We can be holding on to the natural, the flesh, or we can be, our hearts can be directed unto the testimony of the true, the light of the testimony. Well, which is greater, darkness or the light of the testimony? The arm of the flesh, the natural ability, our natural mind versus the testimony of God. Well, the testimony. But now that we are in the testimony, now that we are seeing the testimony, now we must come from the testimony to the substance, Christ himself. Because the substance is greater than the testimony. The testimony is just the reflection of the real person. The testimony is a mirror image of the real person. It's kind of like when you look in a mirror and you see yourself. That image in the mirror is not the real person. It's a reflection of the real person. It's an example. It's a picture. It's a type. I was thinking of it, I think it was yesterday morning or the morning before, or maybe it was sometime in the evening. I was thinking of it. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on nowadays with identity theft. And I was thinking, if a person has another person's driver's license or passport, they can take it and use it for identity theft. But when the person is present whose driver's license and passport it is, it's a whole different matter. God has no interest in identity theft. He has his Son, who is a person. He cares for no imposters. Instead of with Genesis chapter 12 with Abram, when there's a famine in the land, instead of bringing it before the Lord, Lord, here's the situation. What do you think? And then, listen, waiting upon the Lord. Instead, in his own reasoning, in his own calculating, he relies upon the arm of the flesh, Egypt. And then it just gets worse from there. Sarai, seeing the situation. Instead of presenting it to the Lord, Lord, what do you think? What should we do if we should do anything at all? What can we do if we can do anything at all? Instead of presenting a request before the Lord, And then listen, waiting for the Lord, she relies upon her own ability, the strength of the flesh, the arm of the flesh, the strength of man, the ability of man. Brings in what man can do. And once again, what man can do is called Ishmael. The Lord is the only one who is ever faithful. I mean, you can see Abram. He did not have a perfect walk. Brothers and sisters, there is no one who has a perfect walk. Abram, who is considered the father of the faithful, did not have a perfect walk. And yet he continued. Because the Lord ever, forever continues faithful. And if the Lord can do it with Abram, he can do it with you, he can do it with me. But remember the expectation that God gives Abram. Out from unto a land that I will show thee. And the land that God shows is the land that is filled with his very own self. The land that is filled with himself. To make known unto Abram that Abram may discover the one who is present in the land. This is the whole entire journey of Abram. Discovering the one who is ever present in the land, in the soul. This is by God himself appearing in the land. Basically, God himself revealing the one who is present in the land. Regardless of the situations that come and go, because the situations will come and go, it's not about the situations. It is about the one who dwells in the land. And waiting upon this one to appear. I mean, think about it. If Abram could go back to Genesis 12 and see the situation, oh my God, there's a famine in the land. We're all going to perish. There's no food. Lord, listen. What if Abram could have said, by the grace and mercy of God, what if Abram could have said, Lord, we wait upon your manna to appear. We wait upon the true bread of life to appear, the true bread of heaven, the true one who can only truly sustain us. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Although the fig tree, listen, this is Habakkuk. Habakkuk is so caught up with the Lord. It doesn't matter what's going down here. It doesn't matter what the situation is on the earth, and we're about to read it. What the situation is, what his natural eye sees, what his natural ears hear, what his natural mind calculates and reasons according to what he has seen and heard. To him, it doesn't matter. He has found what it is truly all about. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, the fig tree not blossom, neither fruit in the vines, no fruit, no blossoms, no fruit. The labor of the olive shall fail. And the fields shall yield no meat. Talk about famine in the land. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. And there shall be no herd in the stalls. Sounds like a pretty rough situation. Verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. How can you do that? Because his heart is directed unto the greater. And his heart is directed unto what it is all about. You see, we see everything down here in the natural realm, and we think it's all about this, all about me, all about here, all about listen below, when it's not. It's all about the risen Christ. Remember? Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Though in our hearts, the issue may not be Christ and Christ alone. In the heart and mind of God, the issue is always Christ and Christ alone. Nothing less. The issue is always the Son. Regardless of what the issue is in our hearts, the issue in the heart and mind of God is always His Son. Nothing less. Remember, He told Abram, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac. Whoa, what about? No, I recognize only one. Verse 18, Habakkuk chapter 3, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, and He will make my feet like hind's feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. The Lord, listen to this. The Lord, verse 19, the Lord God is my strength. I am not my own strength. Listen, fig tree, no blossoms, neither fruit in the vines. Olive fails, the labor of the olive fails. The fields yield no meat. The flock cut off from the fold. No herd in the stall. It's all running amok. Famine probably in the land. Who knows what is going on? The Lord God is my strength. I will not rely upon my own strength. The God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. Unto that, listen, unto that which is important. He goes on, Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 18 through 26. This is Jeremiah. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Verse 19, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. Verse 20, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Verse 21, this I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions, Lord's mercies, His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, the Lord's. The Lord is, I love this verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Not, listen, not what He can give and not what I can find. The Lord Himself is my portion. Saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him. I place my expectation in Him, not in trying to meet the need of those around me. For the need of those around me is the need that we all continually have, which is the Lord Himself. The greater need. And though the Lord may provide for our immediate need, it is with purpose. that we may discover the greater need to know Him. Therefore, will I hope in Him. I place my expectation in Him. Well, what about the air? What about the seed? Him. Air? Him. Seed? Him. Salvation? Him. Verse 25. The Lord is good unto them. Oh my gosh, I love this. The Lord is good. And I use the definition of good, or I take the definition of good from Genesis, I think it's chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. And God saw the light, that it is good. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him. For Him. Abram, Sarai. Here's Sarai to Abram. Abram, look, Genesis 16. Look, I the Lord's kept me from bearing a child. There's no seed, there's no heir. Let's do this. I think we can do this and make it happen if we just do this over here. We can do this, Abram. Abram responds, could have responded, the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him. How about we just wait upon the Lord and find the true heir, the true seed in the person of Christ Himself? How about we just stop everything and wait upon the Lord? Oh, no, no, no. Not stop our searching for the Lord. No, no, no. Not stop searching the testimony that is designed of God to direct our heart and bring our heart from the knowledge of man to the knowledge of God. A lamp unto my feet, light unto my path, to direct and bring, guide, direct unto the perfect light who Christ Himself is. The perfect light, the light of the world, the true light of the world. No, no, no. But stop from our ability to try to produce whom Christ alone is. Remember, God cares not for identity theft. He cares not for imposters. He is satisfied with His own Son. The question is whether we are satisfied with His Son, or are we settling for something less? The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. I love that. I'll just end with actually a couple of verses here. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. I know my time's running out. Starting with verse 15 from 2 Peter chapter 1. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. And this is Peter speaking to the flock, speaking to the church of God, speaking to those he is in care of. Speaking to those He wants to take care of, provide the best for them. Peter, as a pastor, seeking the best for the flock. He has been entrusted with of the Lord. For those immediately around Him that are looking for answers. And this is Peter. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, it's like Peter knows he's leaving them. So he wants to provide for them. It's almost like a parent beginning to write their will for their children, to provide for their own. To leave their own, an inheritance. A heritage. Verse 16. To be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The power and the coming of the Lord. When we declared to you, when we testified unto you. But were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. So it's all about glory and honor and God concerning Christ, his Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Peter's saying, look, guys, I'm about to leave. But this still continues to be what it's all about. This is all I have to offer you. All I have to leave you with. A treasure immeasurable. Exceedingly abundant. Christ himself. It's all about the Son. Going on. Verse 18. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Verse 19. Here's the expectation he gives them. He doesn't leave them. He gives them an expectation. But why can Peter give them an expectation? Because Peter himself has seen the more excellent one. Peter himself has seen the purpose for which God created the soul. Peter himself has seen what it is all about. And his name is Jesus. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. There's the expectation. And wait until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Wait upon the Lord until the Lord appear. Once again, listen, why can he do this? The answer, Luke chapter 22, verse 31 through 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, this is Jesus before he was crucified. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Verse 32, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, you can look up the term converted. I think it's like Strong's number 1999 or 94. Let me look at it real quick. Luke 22:32. Converted, Strong's number 1994. It means to turn back, to return, to turn. When thou art converted, when your heart is turned unto the Lord, it's basically what it is, strengthen thy brethren. As long as your heart is turned unto the Lord, now you can strengthen the brethren. Why? Because you are not encouraging them in the strength of the flesh, of the arm of the flesh, but in the strength of God himself, in the expectation of God himself. Strengthen them, encourage them, establish them here. Once again, Abram Sarai. Abram, no heir, no child, childless, no seed. The more excellent response would definitely have been, let us wait upon the Lord for the true heir, the true seed to appear. The expectation, the eternal expectation of God in all things. It's not about Abram on a journey. Nope. It's not about Abram having Isaac. Nope. It's not about Sarah bearing Isaac. Nope. It's not about anything like that. It is all about Christ and Christ alone. And only God can truly make this known in our heart. We are convinced of the truth when we see the truth in the face of Jesus Christ, who is the truth. Up until then, it's just a message. It's just a teaching, maybe a deeper life teaching. But it's not the truth himself. It's not Christ himself. Remember, God does not settle for imposters. He has a son. May the Spirit of God continue to prepare the ground of our heart, the ground of our soul, that the Lord himself, by his Spirit, through the testimony, birth in our hearts that expectation. To behold him whom it is all about, Christ himself. That we would no longer seek the living among the dead. For he is risen. Amen? Amen. The Lord is faithful. He's the only one faithful to do this. In my heart, in your heart, he's the one who's faithful unto the Son. Man is not faithful. Man is not faithful. Man's faithfulness results in what we call Ishmael. Once again. But God is faithful unto his Son, the true heir, the true seed, Christ himself. So may we just present this before the Lord, that the Lord would, by his Spirit, do that which he desires to do in our hearts concerning his purpose, concerning his will, concerning his expectation. Amen? Amen. The Lord bless you all. We'll see you in our next class. Amen.